This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
To a neuroscience episode of the Click Nation podcast. I'm your host, Tim Dio Double G. And tonight I'm joined by my brother in arms, Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm gonna quickly eat a donut for the working man.
Now you have to let everyone know what brand of donut it is.
Oh, Krispy Kreme. The only donut that matters.
Glazed or what?
It is a glazed donut, a few hours fresh off of the hot sign, but still tasty.
I ate at a donut place sort of going towards downtown here. That was pretty great. I got glazed and I got a pecan sprinkle donut.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife, you know, she's like, you know, she asked if I like, you know, other types of donuts. I really only like glaze. I like some cream, like the jelly fill, but, you know, for the most part, just glaze is fine with me. I don't even like chocolate.
Yeah, I don't really do chocolate donuts. I'll do the sprinkles and whatnot.
Yeah.
Frosting.
Mm-hmm.
But let's remind everyone to go to our website, theclicknation.com. Make sure to follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. So what do we have on tap tonight? We'll start with.
I guess the last show we kind of left off on with a comic book movie discussion. Excuse me. Mute that. I'm sorry. Comic book movie discussion. So far the two comic book movies have come out this summer. One being The Amazing Spider-Man. Two, and then it was followed a few weeks later by X-Men Days of Future Past. I've seen both. I know Mr. Bamfu's not with us tonight. He had not seen X-Men at the present time, so he was going to wait for Blu-ray before he would be able to watch it. Otherwise, what were your thoughts of, we'll start with Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I thought it was fine. It's currently playing at our discount theater right now. I was debating whether or not to go see it a second time, but there's nothing from it that I really remember that needed seeing again. I remember it had a weird soundtrack during the movie.
You didn't like the score?
Yeah, the score.
Okay. I after watching it, took my daughter to it, and you know, I went in. You know, I think we had even discussed it on the show a couple times. The like a lot of preliminary reviews were that this was like the worst Spider-Man movie, possibly one of the worst comic book movies ever. And you know, I went in, and you know, afterwards, I'm like, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't that great.
I mean, you know, true enough, I think the Tobey Maguire movies are probably a little better. But I was like, there's nothing wrong with this movie. You know, the movie's fine. It, you know, spoilers, if, you know, we'll just go ahead and spoil it considering that the movie's been out. But, you know, the logical, well, not logical, but the thing that everyone kind of knew was going to happen after, you know, seeing Gwen Stacy. These movies happen. She died at the end, caused by Green Goblin, which in this movie is Harry Osborn. But you know, I thought James Garfield did a very good job in the scene where she died. I think he does a pretty good job at playing Peter Parker, and you know, doing the Spider-Man, the snappy quips, you know. Which is part of, you know, Spider-Man. You have to be able to be that, you know, that wisecracking type of hero. And I think he pulls it off pretty well.
Yeah, he gets all that right. And they definitely get the action sequences better in Amazing Spider-Man 2 than the Tobey Maguire one.
Yeah. What did you think of Jamie Foxx's Electro?
I thought of Jim Carrey as
the Riddler. Like
the Riddler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if there is a down part, or you know, something negative about this movie, I think he kind of overdid it a little bit. But otherwise, you know, it was okay. You know. There was nothing to write home about. I thought that there were other good things about this movie besides him. Let's see. What do you think about, and sorry, I forgot the cat's name, but the guy who played Green Goblin, Harry Osborn.
Oh, I don't know the guy's name. I thought he was very emo-ish.
Yeah, I think that this is a whole emo type of movie.
And that whole, yeah, like that, his whole introducing Harry Osborn so quickly and having him turn into the Green Goblin, the whole thing was just, it felt rushed and kind of not needed, even though they like to do, you know, every movie you got to add more characters, got to have more villains.
Mm-hmm. You have to up the ante every time or else people will forget it.
Yeah.
Or they think people will forget it because you have to always out top the last thing.
So that was kind of annoying.
Dane DeHaan.
And what, Dane DeHaan. I don't remember what happened with him at the end.
Well, once again, spoilers. Basically what happened, he was visited by his father in prison. And basically, he outlined supposedly gave his father some type of list of individuals that will be able to help them in basically battling Spider-Man. So, you know, that's what's going to lead into this next movie, which I guess we can talk about some of that news as well. Well, the plan was that they were going to do some spin-off movies in between now and the next Spider-Man movie. They were going to plan to do at least one spin-off movie, with the projects being Venom and the Sinister Six. I believe I've said on this show before that I think they're trying to really milk and I think Sony's trying to basically find a franchise in this series of movies, and beyond a Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man fights villain, I don't think you are going to be able to make a franchise, you know. And you know, that's my problem with them trying to do that.
Yeah, well, it's capitalizing on the, I guess if you call it trying to capitalize on the Superior Foes of Spider-Man rage, even though that book's not selling incredibly well, but it has a nice following, at least online.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. I think, you know, and getting back in the comics, I think unless it's like one of the main titles, a lot of these little spinoff books really don't sell. I mean, you know,
it dilutes the line is what it ends up doing.
You're splitting the fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only so much money to be spent from readers.
Yeah.
Pick up the main books, but all these spinoffs, it's like, eh, don't really need that.
Yeah, especially at $3 or $4 a pop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just how it is. You know, it's good to see diversity in a comic book line, but otherwise.
But Sony's got to do that because that Spider-Man is the only franchise they have, at least for comic book. So they got to take advantage of every single Spider-Man character there is, even though they've come out and said that they don't have plans to utilize Miles Morales.
It's yeah, like, yeah, unfortunately.
It's easy to say that now.
Yeah. And it's one of those things also, you know, if you do Miles Morales, you know, how are you going to explain that, you know? Because, you know, pretty much to 99% of the population, you know, Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, or, you know, at least a white guy.
They're probably scared of alienating fans. What are you doing with this black person? Who is this?
Yeah.
All the people, the majority of the fan base who don't read the books.
Right. And, you know,
other guy.
And let alone try to explain that, okay, that the Spider-Man in this guy's universe died, so he's now the new Spider-Man. And then you have to explain there's a different universe, you know, with the Ultimate Universe and that type of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, Spider-Man.
Now, there's also rumors now that Roberto Orci, mm-hmm. he was the one that co-wrote the movie. And, you know, if y'all don't know, and for people who don't know, excuse me, Roberto Orci is like a major player in Hollywood as far as genre type movies. He's helped with the Transformers franchise. He's helped with he co-wrote the Transformers movie, at least the first two movies, Transformers and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. He co-wrote and executive produced Star Trek reboot back in 2009. You know, co-wrote Cowboys and Aliens, People Like Us, Star Trek Into Darkness. He co-wrote and produced the movie. So he was going to be a major player for the Spider-Man, that new Amazing Spider-Man franchise, and help spearhead the, he was going to also co-write the Venom movie. But now he's off of doing any more Spider-Man movies. I think he's still attached to Venom, but otherwise, he's off of doing Spider-Man. So the dirty sheets for comic books have basically said that there's a possibility that the franchise may end.
That's not happening.
Well. And there's also a rumor that Mr. Vamp told me that Sony is losing a lot of money, and there's a possibility that they may sell the franchise back to Disney. And also, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is the lowest selling of the Spider-Man movies to date. You know, which, you know, considering that it still made $705 million, it's still a lot of money, but it's not what they're used to making with these movies.
Right.
So, you know, if it went back to Marvel, hooray, but, you know, I'm not, you know, that's another just reboot. Right now. Yeah, that's what you're going to have to deal with. Because I, you know, even if they just let it get to Amazing Spider-Man 3, you know, even if you get let the Garfield films finish, what do you do? Do you reboot it after another 5 years? You're going to wind up in the exact same boat, which I think is why a lot of people are kind of burnt out, maybe.
Well, they can skip all the retell the origin, which frankly bogged down the first movie. Very hurt. We've been through this already.
Yeah, and you know, and it goes back to the thing about we just saw it in the past franchise. You're talking about you basically rebooted a franchise 10 years later, but the last movie was just 5 years ago, you know, or 5 years prior. So, you know, it's like, what did you expect?
We expect greatness.
And also, supposedly Roberto Orci is—he's also up to direct the next Star Trek film.
I thought he had to leave that.
No, I think he's still going to do it. That's why he had to leave Spider-Man, because he wanted to do the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He wanted that Star Trek job, and also he's supposedly up for the Power Rangers film reboot.
Yeah, with whoever the X-Men First Class writers.
Mm-hmm. So that could be. You never know. It could be good. You never know. I mean, you know, take away. You know, I didn't even know he helped with the Watchmen movie, and that was actually a good. He got an uncredited script polish to it.
Yeah.
But it could be. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ortsy and Kurtzman was the co-writer that, you know, he did a lot of these. He wrote a lot. Alex Kurtzman, he did a lot of these writing jobs with. So, but otherwise, you know, I didn't find Amazing Spider-Man 2 that offensive.
So what about X-Men Days of Future Past?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. With these X-Men and Spider-Man movies, I just don't really care anymore. I guess for one, there have been so many, and two, I don't expect them to be that great.
I'll knock your socks off type movies.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people enjoy Days of Future Past, so I'm just like, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and hopefully, well, you know, if this whole deal with, you know, Bryan Singer's alleged sexual harassment lawsuit, if that gets dismissed, which he's trying, as of this Ryan, he's trying to get it dismissed, you know, I think he may have to be the gatekeeper for the franchise.
Even the gatekeeper,
that guy that can only do the good movies in the franchise, with the exception of First Class. I kind of wish that what's his face actually did stay in. I wish he had stayed on. Matthew Vaughn had stayed on and did the
Days of Future Past.
Yeah, just to see his version of it.
Yeah, Singer's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't think, even with whatever this scandal floating around.
I don't know. If it gets bad, it gets bad.
It'll really get bad.
Well,
I guess it's possible.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
It'll probably drag on for a while, so they don't have to worry about it.
Now, and one thing, you know, with these X-Men movies, it's kind of like, I always tell people, I told a friend the other day that, you know, if you're trying to get used to certain mutants in these X-Men movies, just don't. Because unless it's Wolverine, Professor X, Magneto, and now Mystique.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't like. Just running through all these mutants. All they all is cannon fodder and extras.
Pretty much. I mean, but it's only because there are so many... There's so many characters you can use. There's probably hundreds and hundreds of mutant characters that you can put in the movies. And, you know... And there's just so much. You have hundreds of characters, but you only have a couple hours worth of movie, a few hours worth of movies that you can cram all these characters in. So, you know, you're kind of screwed, you know, because like pretty much everyone from X-Men First Class was eliminated with the exception of Beast.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone got eliminated. They were basically killed off screen, you know. And I always thought that was kind of, I was like, wow, you know, I wanted to see more of them, you know? So that was a problem I had with it. And I kind of thought, well, maybe Bryan Singer was like, well, I kind of want to only work with these certain people, but, you know, but when you have Jennifer Lawrence in a movie, you know, maybe people want to see her, so... Even though, for the most part, she's got to be made up, you know, into Mystique.
She's getting tired of doing all that.
Now, I'm pretty sure. Now, you know, when an Oscar, you know, all that stuff is... You know, this movie was fine before, but now, you know, I'm a world-famous actress, and, you know, I want to do other things.
She doesn't need to do all that anymore.
Mm-hmm. But, otherwise, basically the plot of the movie, you know, if you remember the Days of Future Past storyline for the X-Men comic books or even from the cartoon, Sentinels, mutant hunting Sentinels have taken over the planet, and basically mankind in general and mutants are virtually extinct, and the Sentinels are basically wiping out mutants one by one, and Kitty Pryde, using her powers, is going to project Wolverine into the past, into his past body, so he can stop Mystique from killing a mutant-hating scientist, Bolivar Trask, played by Peter Dinklage. Basically, by killing him, the Sentinel program gets kicked into high gear, and eventually, in the far future, the Sentinels have truly taken over, but it starts back in the 70s, so it's a X-Men time period piece. As you see Wolverine and, you know, interact with Charles Xavier in the past, who's basically gotten depressed because... You know, for the most part, life sucks, and, you know, some of his X-Men have been killed. So, you know, he's basically gotten depressed, but thanks to a drug they got from Hank Pym, his powers are basically...
Hank Pym?
Not Hank Pym, I'm sorry. Hank McCoy. Got my Hanks mixed up. Basically because of Hank Pym, he's created... Hank McCoy, Beast. All right, Beast. Created a formula that can suppress mutant powers. So, but because of that, the side effect is that he can walk, which is strange, and I didn't think that type of thing worked that way. But
so, when is he gonna get paralyzed again? Well, I guess it's like the comics. He goes walks and doesn't walk.
Yeah. Well, I think in the comic books it was a part because he was in a clone body for time period, and then his legs got crushed again, and then he's in a wheelchair and all that stuff.
At least at the end of the movie we have a new timeline.
Yeah, basically because Wolverine prevents the Sentinel program from taking over, and because of that, for some reason, it wiped out the whole X-Men 3. So you people that hated X-Men 3 are happy because apparently that movie never happened.
Or the first one. Or a second one.
Who knows?
I mean, everything takes place before the movies 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, they all are wiped out.
Yeah, I mainly thought...
But then I guess when it picks back up, we see all the regular everyone in the current day, right?
I thought that was the future.
Well, yeah, oh, okay, that was future.
Right. At the end, Wolverine wakes up in the future. And because of his healing powers, Wolverine now remembers all the timelines, basically.
Well, yeah, his future self does, but in the past, Mystique took him.
Right.
I don't know, it's too confusing for me.
But yeah, X-Men Days of Future Past, and then at the end we got a preview, we got to see Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. So yes, that's be the next movie, X-Men Apocalypse. We'll see how they ruin Cable and Gambit as they try to shoehorn him in there.
Oh yeah, and now we're going to definitely have a Gambit movie. And he's going to be played by Channing Tatum.
Which I'm fine with. Who cares? Yeah. Like I said, I don't care what they do with these movies anymore. He's entertaining. I like him as... What has he been in recently?
Did you
22 Jump Street.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, he does a good job in those. I didn't think he was a good comedic actor at first until I saw those movies. I'm like, dang, he's pretty funny.
Maybe have a dancing Gambit.
We don't need him dancing. You know, flashback to Peter Parker doing a jig in Spider-Man 3. Excuse me, Tobey Maguire. That will be always attached to Tobey Maguire dancing. But,
I guess Quicksilver stole the spotlight, even though originally his outfit looked horrible in the promo images. But he was entertaining.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did keep in the fact that he was Magneto's son. He's like, huh, Mom knew someone that could control metal.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah. Even though he is going to show up next year in another movie, but it's not the same guy, apparently.
It's not? I thought they were going to bring in the same guy back.
I thought that was a different guy. Not in... I'm talking about in Avengers.
Oh. Yeah, so now the Taylor Johnson fellow has a lot to live up to.
Yeah. Playing virtually the same guy, even though he... Yeah. It's difficult. Lawsuits and all that stuff.
But they never call him Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, I don't believe.
No, they didn't. But, you know, that'll be pretty cool. Yeah, when we see Avengers next year, we'll see what happens.
What else do we have?
All right, well, in sports, last week, and, you know, you're a perfect guy to talk about this, LeBron James made his decision, except this time he didn't do it on TV in front of millions of people on, you know, watching at home. He decided to go back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which now the people in Miami are pissed, and, you know, I view them as people that, you know, that were the mistress that got married to the guy, and then the guy wound up cheating on them with someone else. It's like they cheated on you on someone else to be with you. So what made you think he wasn't going to do the same thing to you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he went back to Cleveland because Cleveland is home. And if you left it at that, I would understand. Cleveland's home, his wife's home. His mom's home, you know, and he wants his kids to grow up in, you know, the North Ohio area. He loves it. He admits that, you know, he probably still would have left, but he probably would have done things a little differently. But he does apologize. And instantly, of course, everyone in Cleveland forgives him.
As they should. These right. are their own.
Yeah.
I like the analogy he made. I don't know if it was in the letter or interview where it was like, you know, going to Miami was like going off to college. And he's grown yeah. up and matured. And
he's not the same guy.
Yeah. Miami should be happy. They got 4 years of the best player in the league and got 2 championships.
Yeah.
Nothing to be mad about.
Yeah. Like, and I was telling a friend, I was like, if he came to the Atlanta Hawks and got us what even 1 championship, I would help that fucker move. So I would help him move. Thanks, man. I thought I would never live to see this day. The Hawks win the NBA championship. Hey, you know, where do you want this stove? You know, stuff like that. You know, I mean, I'd be happy, you know. And I think initially Miami, the rest of Miami was happy. And the Miami ownership was just like, you know, we appreciate it. We understand. We got, thank you for 4 years, LeBron. Cool. You know, the only reason I wouldn't go back to Cleveland was just because of Dan Gilbert's letter, the infamous letter, where he threw a fucking hissy fit because, he viewed LeBron as property. You know what I'm saying? And he got upset that his property decided to go somewhere else and play basketball, you know, and that I always hated that part. And for that, I probably wouldn't have gone back. Because, you know, this guy.
It was more than just he wasn't going to let Gilbert keep him from going back home.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but you know, still that one thing always bothered me. And in the end I still understand why he left, but that bothered me that, you know, this guy, you know, got upset, threw a hissy fit, and this fucker is still at the end of the day rich. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but supposedly everyone in Cleveland's just going crazy and, you know, they've sold out season tickets apparently. What did you think about the other free agent moves, like Miami signing up Chris Bosch?
I mean, they overpaid for him, but it was kind of a thank you gesture for taking so much less in the original deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed Wade for, I'm not sure what the number were.
But it was only for a few years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his legs are pretty much shot.
Everyone thought with LeBron leaving that Bosch would go to take the money from Houston, but he got the money from Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, both are great cities and locations to live.
Mm-hmm. No taxes.
Yep.
So, what do you think about Pau Gasol going to Chicago?
That's a good move for them. Definitely an upgrade over Carlos Boozer.
Mm-hmm.
If Derrick Rose can stay healthy, right now people have them as the favorites.
Yeah, that's the key thing. He has to stay healthy.
And the McRoberts guy they drafted, he looks like he's going to be a scorer, which they need.
Mm-hmm. The defense is already there.
Yeah. So it's all up to Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Mr. Glass.
I mean, come on. Just because he got injured early into the season and he waited out an entire year and, you know, there were so many jokes about him wearing a suit and all that stuff. He may do it this year. You never know. Someday my Hawks will actually live up and actually may do something. But at least they took it to Indiana this during the playoffs. But yeah, that's a little bit of sports talk I kind of wanted to get out there.
Okay.
And. Oh, yeah. And as far as in the world of professional wrestling, last night they debuted a commercial during Monday Night Raw for WWE 2K15. And on the commercial, it's an orchestra playing a song that you'll be familiar with from WCW. And that was...
I didn't recognize that music at all.
You didn't?
When was the last time I heard that music?
I recognized it immediately.
I mean, everyone online was saying they're gonna debut him for the video game, so I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the music,
you didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the orchestra plays, and the music is Sting's music from when he was the Crow, when he first debuted the Crow character in WCW. The orchestra, the members of the orchestra turn around and they're wearing the face paint too, and they do a close up on Sting standing there and looking over his shoulder, and they announce that he'll be a downloadable character when you pre-order the game.
Ooh, let me go pre-order. Yes. It says it's two versions, but the Crow Sting and the California Surfer Sting.
Yeah, and they actually have the concept art now on, if you just Google Sting conceptual art for WWE 2K15, you'll see it. But it's got both Stings. So, you know, I think you had some people that were booing because of the fact that they were expecting Sting to show up, of course, you know. But, because Flair came back that same night, so everyone was fantasy booking, like, oh, maybe Ric Flair will side with the Authority and Sting will be the guy to help out, you know, opposing Flair and all this stuff. And I'm like, till Sting's in the ring, I don't want to put myself through the trouble, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and another thing that has popped up about, you know, like on wrestling websites and podcasts and like Busted Open, RBR, they talk about the fact, you know, as far as Sting being a legend, a lot of people think that Sting's legacy is not fully cemented until we get him in the WWE. And, he's my favorite wrestler pretty much of all time. But, you know, I always wanted to see him in WWE, you know, just to see what it would be like. But I'm also afraid that, you know, it may wind up hurting his legacy even more. Kind of like, you know, well, like with Rey Mysterio, it helped his legacy, I think, when he came over to WWE. But, like, remember when Ultimo Dragon came over and, you know.
He signed with the WWE?
Yeah, back in, and there you go. That was over 10 years ago that he was there. But he was there
past his prime by that point. I guess just like Sting would be.
Yeah. But still, that was supposed to be a huge thing. And I think everyone back with Ultimo Dragon was thinking that he was going to be the next, you know, Rey Mysterio. He's going to revitalize his career. He came back for a cup of coffee and pretty much was gone.
Where's Juventud? I was watching the best of Nitro last night after Raw went off. And
yeah.
Like, where's Juventud? Where are these guys? Where's Fat LaParca? The chairman.
The chairman of the board. I want him to do the LaParca dance.
Yeah. But going back to Sting, I mean, why not try to get paid at the end of your career from WWE by signing this Legends contract?
Yeah.
Which is probably what he signed to get into the video game. Yeah. Since he's in the game, he'll eventually show up. I mean, SummerSlam probably would be a good spot for him. He's from Venice Beach,
California.
Originally. And I'm sure SummerSlam will still be in.
Yes, in LA.
Yeah, LA.
Staples Arena.
Let's do it!
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm more worried that he'll come back and look like a fool, kind of like, you know, the last few years in TNA, you know, if you watch that crap. You know, a lot of people thought he had terrible matches in TNA. I thought, you know, he did pretty much a decent job. They weren't all 5-star, but they were good matches.
Five-star. But yeah.
Yeah, not Frog Splash. But pretty much, you know, I think I would like to see him in WWE. I would like to see what they would do. Put it like that.
It was cool when the band turned around and they all had the Sting mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Or the orchestra.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Supposedly that commercial cost $200,000 to make.
I mean, it did look high quality.
Yeah. I was like, I think I could do it for a lot less, but, you know, hey, what do I know?
But that up close picture of him turning around was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, two generations of Sting. But yeah, did you catch the Monday Night War documentary?
Where was it at?
That was online last week after Raw.
Oh, no.
If you went to the... It was good. This was like a brand new documentary.
So it should still be on the network to watch.
From what I understand, my friend Andre, he went online and he couldn't find it anymore. It was gone by the time he tried to look it up. But they did say it was just a preview because it's supposed to be like a 20-part documentary, like an hour long. I think it was like an hour long. So the first episode was basically them talking about. It was basically just giving a background on WWF / E and WCW back in the day. And, you know, the various, you know, of course, there was some, you know, what do you call altered history as far as, you know, WWF and WCW was concerned, I think. Vince talking about how WCW was threatening to put him out of business, and he was like, I took that personal, and I put up a Twitter comment, but, you know, back in the 80s when Vince was buying up territories or signing up talent and trying to put people deliberately out of business, that wasn't personal, that was just business, right? So, yeah, I'm like, the hypocrisy of Vince. But yeah, that's going to be pretty good. Once I'm thinking that will be out by the time the renewals come around. Mm-hmm. So that will entice people to at least watch, and hopefully they'll actually put up the more of the WWF Raw, Monday Night Raws, and the Nitros from the 90 from the Monday Night War era. I hope they'll actually put those out at that time. You know, especially like show, like you can even do a show on the network, show the Raw and then show the Nitro from that same night just to give you the comparison. And, you know, for the people that are Benoit fans or Benoit supporters, you know, you'll be able to see Benoit matches because they still have the Benoit matches on the old pay-per-views that they've shown.
Hey, I saw him on the Best of Nitro last night.
No, they kept the bent. Now that
they DVD threw him like a dart. I mean, he was in the background.
Yeah.
They made sure not to focus on his face. So
yeah, that's what they did on that Money in the Bank DVD. He was in that first one. They only showed him from one side of the arena, and any offense, like that one spot where he came off the ladder on top of Kane with the headbutt. They didn't, only heard
jumping
crowd
off the
noise.
Top rope.
No, you only heard crowd noise. You didn't hear Jim Ross say anything. You know, they cut his entrance, so yeah. But on the network, I think they'll show everything. They show everything in full. You know, it's kind of weird looking back at WrestleMania 20, seeing Jim Ross going fucking nuts because Benoit won the title. It's like, oh god, yeah. And it does. At first, I said that wouldn't feel weird. Then I'm looking back, and I'm like, yeah, that feels a little weird. Benoit has won the world championship at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh shit, this feels weird. I don't think I can watch this anymore.
So, you are the number one Sting fan around here.
Mm-hmm.
You're pleased, I take it?
Yeah, I'm happy about it. You know, I wasn't, like, you know, everyone else was upset because they wanted him in the arena, but I was like, I put my expectations low. I'm like, If everyone kept rumoring that it was going to be a video game, it will be the video game. And that's all I said. It's the video game. Watch it, fools. You know, and I'm like you. I'm not going to just instantly run to GameStop and put down my $50 just so I can buy this stupid thing.
You don't want it in the next gen? Have you wanted to buy the next gen system?
No. I mean, I'm just going to do like I did with this previous system. Just wait until stuff gets reduced down. Now, I'm not trying to spend like $400 or $500. Well, what is like $400 for everything now, right?
What was that?
It's $400 for the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4, right?
Something like that. I think the Xbox was originally priced, I think, $100 more, but that was because it had the Kinect with it. But now they might sell a version without it. I don't know. I don't keep up with video game stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, and trust me, I work at a place where those things are being sent back to Xbox for fixing. So, you know, that
already?
Has me kind of, yeah, early.
Already.
Yeah, early. I'm talking about when it first came out within a month, I was sending something back for Microsoft to fix it. But I think it's been addressed now. But I think if I had to get one, I'm thinking about getting the PlayStation 4 if I had to get one. But still, I have to wait till that gets reduced down some more.
Yeah, I haven't really put much thought to it. You know, I will admit, earlier this week, I did get the urge to start playing some games again.
On what? Your PlayStation 3 or your Xbox?
Either one of them. I still got games I need to play.
Oh, yeah.
That I've barely messed with.
Mm-hmm. I will say, like, some of the apps, you know, like having the Xbox 360, because both of my Rokus broke. I don't know if I told you or not.
How did Rokus break?
They just, let's see, one stopped, one would not pick up the Wi-Fi signal in the house at all, and one just stopped working it in general. So I had to send those back, and I should get two new ones or refurbished ones in a week or two. Yeah, I had to go through the chat, and they said they'd do it. So yeah, but like using the apps on the Xbox 360 isn't as good as I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah, the WWE Network app pretty much sucks on the Xbox 360.
You know,
it's not as good.
Yeah, mine stutters a lot and like jumps back.
Mm-hmm.
But I found my Roku does a lot better than the Xbox or PS3 does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does better. You know, like I said, you know, if it weren't for the fact that mine just doesn't work. But I guess in something else that is coming out soon, that PlayStation TV, which is their version of a Roku box, but it will also, let's see, I think you can also download games as well on it, and then you can play the games. As I think that's the same thing that you can do with that, excuse me, the Amazon Fire TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'll be able to put some games on there or something like that. Device is said to be compatible with over 100 Vita games, as well as various digital PlayStation Portable, PlayStation PC Engine titles, along with tiles streamed from the upcoming PlayStation Now service. So that would be kind of cool to have.
Yeah,
I may get that.
Well,
yeah,
at least.
Their
PS3,
services.
Yeah, services. You probably have to pay the PS Plus or whatever to get the online the
games.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually buying the games will cost you money, but you know, at least you can use the service if you wanted to download or go on the internet. But Xbox Live Gold is now free. Well, the Xbox Live
apps,
is free.
The apps are.
Yeah, now. And then they but if you want get the gold membership, you get other, you know, special things. They'll let you get games at a discount, that type of thing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's You know, that's pretty much why I'm thinking about. I may get that PlayStation TV. But, you know, if this PlayStation Now lets me, especially if I'll be able to stream games and that type of thing, that would be kind of cool. I'm just I always worry that that may suck, or I may wind up losing, like, my stream will get cut off or something, and then, you know, I'd lose a game or some, you know, lose a match or some shit like that. But yeah, anything else you got on your mind, sir?
I think that's all we had, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Movies, talk, sports, talk, wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a pay-per-view coming up?
Battleground this Sunday on my birthday.
Oh.
I'll actually be home from work. I've had the network since day one, but I've never been able to actually watch a pay-per-view live.
Oh, it's great. I'm even thinking about keeping it after, I think my coming up on my six, I need to check that actually when my 6 month thing ends.
I think it's next month, okay. At the end of next month. If you did it from day one, I think it's at the end of August.
I did it like, I said a calendar reminder. I did it like 2 weeks after it started when they did the first free week.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually added it to my calendar, so let me check to see when that comes up. But yeah, I'm thinking about keeping it $10, why not? Speaking of things I'm thinking about adding, well, in personal news, I'm about to be done paying my car payment, I think, in August. So that's,
oh, okay.
That'll be extra money for me to do something with.
Okay.
So I'm like, hey, I could finally sign up for Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, you never did that?
No, I never did it.
Okay. I mean, it's every now and then, it's one of those things, I'm like, do I use this enough, you know, to justify it? But it's just basically like the WWE Network. You have access to get to a whole bunch of Marvel titles at one time, you know?
Yeah.
So, if you ever want to reference some crap that, you know, hey, did this ever happen in the X-Men, or, you know, that type of thing, or read over some legendary issue, then, you know, it's worth it. Especially for if you're just a comic book nerd that just wants to get as much information or just remember when stuff was good, you know, which is a discussion for another time. But, you know, you remember stuff from the 90s and, you know, 80s, 70s, if you want.
That's all I need is more TV watching options.
Are you part of Netflix now or Hulu?
Through the girlfriend's account, yes.
So what have you been watching?
Young Justice so far. Especially last night, I watched two episodes like around between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. because my dog decided to start barking at something. So I was like, well, I'm up now.
Dang.
It happens every now and then. So yeah, usually if I'm woken up at night and I can't go back to sleep, Netflix or Hulu is what I've turn to waste some time.
Then so, doze off eventually.
Yeah, so I got dozed off like around 6 to 7 and woke up for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, Young Justice, there's a couple of movies on there, like G.I. Joe 2 I need to watch again, and I still gotta finish Wolverine the X-Men, the one season.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the other cartoons. Avengers Assemble is on there. I figure I can give that a try, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't give it a shot.
I mean, I watched it when it started coming on, and I was just like, nope. Give us Avengers Assemble, or Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
Which actually is on there.
Yeah, it was the replacement series for that, and I was, you know, I tried, but I just can't get into it. I was like, you had the good show. What was wrong with it?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I can tell you my kid has pretty much... Kirsten has watched every episode of Vampire Diaries. That's on Netflix. And Pretty Little Liars. And Nikita. And Nikita's not a bad show. It was actually pretty good. The episodes I did see. On Hulu, you can watch episodes of Silk Stockings.
Hey.
I did that. I watched a couple episodes the other night. My wife was like, you know, I really didn't know what the show. She was like, I remembered the show, but she doesn't remember it, you know? So she was, you know, she was like, it was interesting. Then I felt like going back to the 80s, so I watched Hunter.
I need to catch up. I need to finish the first season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's on my to-do list. And then also I need to catch up on Gang Related.
That's a good show.
Oh, yeah. I've watched the first three, so not too far behind, but yeah.
But, have you watched FX has two new series on now? They got Tyrant and The Strain.
I've seen people discuss both of them online, but I haven't watched either. Tyrant's on now, I see.
It's actually pretty good. I like
it. What is it about?
Basically, you know, this takes place, you know, in a foreign country, Middle Eastern country. This guy, this father has two sons, and, you know, he's basically the ruler, the dictator, you know, of the land. I forgot his actual title, but he was basically ruler of the country. And basically, one son grows up, he goes to America, becomes a doctor. And he has to come back to the Middle Eastern land. He stayed away pretty much most of his adult life. He married, has kids. But he has to go back because his nephew is getting married. And that's his older brother's son. So he goes back and make a long story short, his father winds up dying, and because of that, he's on his way out of the country, and basically his brother would be the next person in charge, but his brother winds up getting in a car accident. He doesn't die, but he has to go back, and now it's basically the story of him being stuck in this country. The people don't like the world, his family in general. And there's, like, you know, you got insurgents, or basically a militant group that's trying to, you know, overthrow the government. You got a whole bunch of stuff going on. His brother is that fucking asshole. But basically, the reason he got in an accident was because he was in the car. He was going to see his mistress that he goes to see, you know, at a certain time or whatever. And he pretty much forces her to blow him during the car ride, and she bites him, and he drives off the cliff because she was basically going, and she was also trying to kill him she had some poison in a needle or something. She bites him, he winds up driving off the road. That's how he gets in his accident. So
sounds convoluted.
Convoluted, but, you know, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good show. Basically, the brother is just, you know, struggling with the fact he doesn't like the main character, the doctor, you know, he's like, he doesn't like his, you know, he didn't want to come back. That's the thing. But, you know, his family's like, well, why didn't you want to come back? You're royalty. And, you know, it just brings up bad memories. Okay. And the Strain, in a nutshell, is a plane lands back in America, in New York, all the passengers are dead. And, you know, they don't know why. And basically this group of CDC investigators is trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, there's like some element going on with a monster. There's something going on. And, like, to tell you a little bit would ruin the show, but it's a very exciting show. It's very suspenseful, almost like a horror movie. The first episode was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
I will talk about The Leftovers on HBO.
What is that about? Because my friend was telling me that was
a 2% of the world's population just up and disappear all of a sudden, just in a flash.
2%?
Only 2%. But they act like it's, you know, it's a lot of people. I mean, it is a lot of people, but so you're following one town as they, you know, live
without the people.
Yeah, without the people. And there's like two different cults running around, and one of them is a cult that they don't speak, and all they do is just follow people around and smoke cigarettes. Just to try to like recruit people, I guess. And it's interesting. It's like this one main family is kind of involved, and they have like parts in all the different storylines going around. I won't say too much else. You can, I mean, after watching the first episode, you'll see what it is. But yeah, so that's my weird. That fits my weird quota.
Oh, you have a weird quota of TV shows?
Well, no, but if I did have one, that would fall in it.
No, it's like, you know, I can't deal with any more strange.
David Lindelof.
Oh, is a creator of it?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the guys from Lost. I gotcha. But, okay. I'm trying to think. I think that's pretty much it. I want to catch up and, you know, watch a whole bunch of stuff on Netflix, but you only have so much time.
Yep. Only so much time.
Yep. But I should be able to do something now that the kids are at my folks or my parents' house for the next couple weeks.
I'll be seeing them tomorrow.
Oh yeah, going to eat.
Yep.
Okay. Well, all right.
I guess that, we can. That does it for tonight's show. I guess quickly I'll mention that Marvel announced on The View today that
Thor. Go ahead.
Being replaced. He is found unworthy of Mjolnir.
Meow meow.
So now he will. There will be a Thor, God of Thunder, is ending and being replaced by Thor with a new female lead character.
So they're canceling the book.
Well, no, they're just relaunching it with as Thor.
No. They're canceling the book.
There are no canceling of books. Especially when the book is followed up by a book of the same name. Like, Indestructible Hulk ended and now it's Hulk. Thor God of Thunder ends and now it's Thor. Supposedly it's a brand new character. Everyone was speculating that it's Angela, his sister, which I think would make sense instead of having it be a brand new.
And this is the sister that was revealed during
Original Sin. Yes, to be
okay.
His sister, but we'll see.
What? All right, and just want to make sure that's not Angela that came over from Spawn, right?
This is the Angela that came over from Spawn.
It's his sister.
Yes. You know that?
No, that I haven't gotten to that. I haven't gotten to that part of Original Sin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I've read the miniseries. I haven't read any tie-in books at all.
I thought maybe it's all just news. Cause
oh, no.
They announced it like weeks ago.
Oh, okay. That's the tie-in. That's how they do it.
Yep.
Even though... So, does that mean that Marvel owns Angela, or is that just...
Yes, well, Neil Gaiman got whatever...
Got the rights to it.
I guess allowed Marvel to use her.
Mm-hmm.
However that works.
No longer a Spawn killer.
Nope. But she still has to... Still deals with angels or whatever.
Weird.
Yeah. Read the Thor and Loki 10th Realm.
That tie-in? Okay, I have that tie-in. Okay.
It came out last week.
Okay.
It explains it. So yeah, so people were rabbling about
now the fact that he's being replaced.
Yeah, female Thor, and when I guess my whole thing is why announce it on The View?
Because it's a show of women,
mostly middle-aged women that don't care
Don't read comics.
Yeah, they don't read comic books. I can see like announcing stuff on USA Today and Entertainment Weekly and all that, but this
was someone from Marvel on there? Wait, that's an ABC thing. Well, yeah, Disney. Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I get all that, but supposedly, like, I think Whoopi Goldberg just read the press release.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else on the set looked confused, and then went on to talk about some other stuff.
It's like, oh, well, who cares? That's comic books.
But you know, this was teasing the Avengers 35 cover that was released a couple weeks ago,
where all the people were like in shadows and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there was Thor.
Is that Black Cap?
There was Black Cap, and there was Thor with the axe and not Mjolnir, and mm-hmm. Captain America de-serumed, which I correctly had guessed originally when I first saw the image.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, that there's a Black Cap, and then there's a white dude with a cane, old white guy with a cane next to him, that with blonde hair. Oh, mm-hmm. Cap gets his serum taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool that, you know, in 8 months from now, eight months in the future, we'll have a Black Cap, a female Thor. Who knows what happens to Iron Man?
Mm-hmm. He's Chinese.
Supposedly something happens with him during Axis, something big.
Which is my prediction also for Donna Troy. She'll be Asian.
Oh. Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Make people mad.
Yep. Wally West is black?
Biracial. So yeah, that's all the news we had today.
Yep.
To share with y'all. I'm gonna, again, remind everyone to go to theclicknation.com. Find previous episodes of the Click Nation podcast and my various comic book reviews and news. Follow us on our Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and The Click Nation. And Adam Black is at
underscore Adam underscore Black.
So next time, hopefully, we'll have some other members of the Click Nation on with us. If not, we'll just one to fast break ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for tuning in with the Click Nation, and we are signing off. Junior.